Coming up on Patriots This Week, start spreading the news.
This team is a tough, tough football team, mentally and physically.
In the swamps of Jersey, it's the Patriots who bring on the wrecking ball.
Down ball or popped in the air again. Picked up by the Patriots. Touchdown.
Proud of the team, proud of the way they responded this week.
In a must-win game, Rex Ryan and the Jets make all the wrong moves.
And a mix-up in the backfield. Oh. Sanchez, has the ball. Down he goes. Patriots pick up the fumble.
Last Sunday, it was all about the early returns.
Ring it up. Touchdown, Julian Edelman.
While it may be a better luck next time, the Patriots' newest addition was giving thanks.
Man, I would love for it to be home.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Seconds, that's all it took, really, to score on special teams, offense, and defense. For Wiggy, it takes him to do 52 seconds on other things. But I'm telling you, the Patriots feasted on their turkey, which was the New York Jets last night in Thanksgiving. Hello again, everyone. I'm Scott Zolak, and welcome to Patriots This Week. Joining me each and every week during the football season, Matt Chatham, Jermaine Wiggins. And that's right, the Patriots won 49-19. That's a big win last night. Matt, is this more of a case that the Patriots are that good? Were the Jets that bad, or did it meet somewhere in the middle?
We criticized the Patriots a few times early in the season for not taking advantage when the teams did dumb stuff. You know, you get the ball at midfield and you don't do something with it. This team now has sort of grown to the team that if you trip up at all, they're going to bury you. And I mean, you said three scores in 52 seconds. As soon as you make a mistake, you sort of feel that ball start to roll, and these guys are just off to the races.
Wiggy, going into this game, you being a former tight end, we wondered what would life be without Gronkowski. We've done it without Hernandez. Mm-hmm. It seems like it doesn't matter if either of those guys in there. Last night, real quick, no Gronkowski, no Vollmer, no Chandler Jones, and who else was out?
And Mankins.
Forget about Logan Mankins. Yeah. Four really big stars for them out, and they handled the Jets like that.
And I think because it was a combination of what we saw all three phases, special teams did a great job of being able to have a turnover and then turn it into points. Defensively, they were able to have a turnover, turn it into points. Offensively, they had a nice play, 83-yard touchdown to Vereen that practically, you know, it was just throwing the football and he'll run down the sidelines. So I think what you saw last night was a combination of all three phases playing together at the right time when you had some guys out. You had a guy like Gronkowski out, who is a big part of the offensive production, but you're able to make up for that on the defensive side of the ball and in the special teams game.
I thought it was interesting with the way that they just sort of addressed the tight end change. They did use, I haven't seen Aaron Hernandez as an inline tight end much, and he actually lined up in the Y spot.
I think they did that to get the matchup that way, because I don't think the Jets could adjust to, okay, wait a minute, who's on the wing? Let's put our more skilled guy on Hernandez. They just kind of dummied it down for the Jets.
But they're willing to do a lot of different things, and there was time where he was the inline, and they would actually run that way. They'd run a bend play back the other way, but they use Fells as a fullback. They use Fells as an inline. They put both in the Y. They did some seven-man protection where they kept both in. I mean, there was just the willingness to do a lot of weird things. And they're going to be so tough to prepare for. Even without Gronk, they still have 12 personnel packages, and they still do a lot of things. They're still productive, so I think they're very dangerous.
Jermaine Wiggins, how would you like to be Mark Sanchez today? Let me rephrase that. wait a minute. How would you like Mark Sanchez without the $20 million guarantee? Because anybody would like to have $20 million guaranteed to him in the offseason, especially that guy. Runs into the back of Brandon Moore, fumbles the ball, Steve Gregory scoop and score. Yeah. Is that about as embarrassing a play in the National Football League that you can have?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Mark Sanchez, and just go back to the play before that where he threw the interception to Steve Gregory. I mean, he was staring the receiver down, doesn't see Gregory, comes back and just picks it off. That play, got to have better ball security. Clearly, this guy is what we all thought he was, and I thought he was overrated coming out of college, and he's clearly shown that he's not a very good quarterback. He's actually below average, in my opinion, and you know what? That's what you expect out of Mark Sanchez.
Matt, building off of what you talked about with the combination of tight ends and where they use them, in line, on the wing. I thought they did a fantastic job, did Josh McDaniels, with those matchups. Talk about the Vereen one, and you've been a former linebacker. When you have that matchups, we got to pick our poison. We got Fells, we got Hernandez in tight. Next thing you know, those guys kind of cave in towards the middle. They get Shane Vereen on the wheel route. Was that a blown coverage or just bad matchup for the New York Jets?
Well, it actually wasn't a wheel route. It's just a swing route, is even worse because if you're a linebacker, the general rule, regardless of man or zone, if you're the outside zone player, they say don't get out leveraged. You know, and I think that Shane Vereen showed a lot of speed yesterday. And I think, if anything, Bart Scott really underestimated how quick this guy was, because that was just a quick swing pass. And he either, they looked like, and again, this is sort of the clown show thing that we were getting into with the Jets. It also looked like there was some communication issues. They looked like they were, you know, sort of still motion to one another. He got rubbed a little bit by Welker, but you didn't see that sense of urgency that I can't get out leverage. Yeah. I got to get outside this or it's going to beat me. And, you know, like you said, it's good to know that you got a guy like this in your team, that if he gets the ball in space and you give him a yard, he's going to take 80. I think that's a very powerful weapon, and I don't think it's one we knew prior to this. He's definitely been efficient, but he hasn't been that kind of player. It's a nice new weapon.
Well, clearly, I think it was a miscommunication, because Brady looks right first, and then as he comes back, he sees Vereen wide open going down the sidelines, and you kind of see Bart Scott in kind of like no man's land, because if he was playing a man-to-man, he probably would have shot out there right away.
I think it was on. The issue is you have to have a sense of urgency.
Yeah,
you have to get, you got to get outside of it and not
the
get
amazing
picked.
Thing with everything is the amount of preparation that they put into this. Was basically, I mean, you guys, you know, I don't know if you played on a short week before, but Thanksgiving week, you got one day to prepare. Mm-hmm. You do Monday, you gear things back Tuesday, and travel day is Wednesday.
Walkthroughs
so
in the hotel.
They've done all that stuff. Yeah, but it tells you, you know, some teams have walkthroughs and people don't pay attention. This team at least pays attention, I think, during the walkthroughs and are mentally ready. We got to talk about points real quick. I want to read this correctly. 49 points, obviously, in the win over the Jets. 190 of those points in the past four games. The most in a four-game stretch since the 1950 Rams. I was here in the early 90s, right before I got here. They scored a total of, I think, 191 points in the 1990 season alone. 108 points in 5 days.
It's a combination of things. It's defensively scoring points. It's special teams scoring points. It's offensively scoring points. I mean, it's not like the offense went out there and just laid, you know, 59 points strictly on the offense. I think it's a combination of all three phases of the game scoring points, and that's valuable. When you can have all three phases go out there and put points up on the scoreboard, you're going to have a really good day.
They were so bad in those three ugly turnovers and then the score on special teams that you really didn't have to dive into the minutiae much of the offense. It was already 35-0, and then what is the game plan? What are they going to do? I don't know. So just to your point, this huge amount of points they've gotten in this last game, at least, is as much a function of the Jets just screwing up as their offense.
It's almost like they've taken 5 steps backwards. You think Tannenbaum's gone at the end of this year? I think Rex is staying.
I think he is, but I think, you know, Tannenbaum should be gone. But I think another guy that should be gone is Sparano. You're the offensive coordinator. You got to know the personnel that you have.
What's the Tim Tebow secret weapon package?
Well, I guess what we understand, is broken ribs standing on the sideline hogging up a spot. But you're Sparano. You have to put your team in a position to win. You got to be an offense coordinator that's kind of innovated a little bit. Do some different things. You can't be down 35-3, get the ball in the start of the third quarter, and you're running a dive play. I mean, I just look at it. I don't think there's enough innovation. I don't think he's a good enough offensive coordinator to be able to think outside the box.
You know, I watch Sanchez, and there are series where he's pretty efficient. He moves the ball down the field, but there's too much stuff in between the cracks. When they need that game-breaking play, it's Sean Green, who's an efficient guy, but he's not going to break a play.
No.
It's Joe McKnight, who's a decent player, but he has ball security issues for days. I mean, so they've got some issues that they can't seem to fill in the cracks, and usually that comes from talent, depth of roster, all those kinds of things, and they don't have it, and generally you look to the GM for those kind of issues.
All right, well, I read all the message boards regarding the show, and there's a lot of comments about you two guys being turkeys, yet I think out of the goodness of your hearts, the other day, talk about what you did. You helped pass out turkeys. I think Mr. Kraft likes to call it food, family, fun, football.
It's a really cool thing. I mean, you get to go out, and there's a lot of different kinds of charitable events that you get to do through the course of your career, and this is one where it's very...
Just give a turkey. I mean, it's like 220 packed baskets.
It's on the ground, though, and you get to meet the people, and you get to talk and have a good time and, you know, wish them a happy holiday, and, you know, brought my son with me, which was cool. And, you know, you get to sort of engender him into this whole sort of giving back kind of situation. It's a really fun event. It's a really cool event. And it's actually a place where we catch up with old friends. You see a lot of old players. You guys throughout the generation have been Patriots, want to get involved in this event. It's a really cool thing that Mr. Kraft does.
All right, guys, coming up next, it's Ernie Banks week as we take a look back at two games. Not that the old Patriots only play on Thanksgiving night, but they also took up another team called the Colts, and they were led by Andrew Luck. That's next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Manchado. Okay. All right. Okay.
Let's you say Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. And in beating the Colts, the Patriots tied a franchise record by scoring 59 points. Granted, 14 of it came on defense with two pick sixes. Yeah, nice return from Edelman. Sets up another 7 points. Bottom line, guys, Andrew Luck, he was okay. He was good. He wasn't great like a lot of people thought he was going to be coming into this game. But Aqib Talib getting the 59-yard pick six going the other way. Matt, how'd you think he played coming out first game as a Patriot?
Well, I was impressed with his conditioning. I think it was, if you look at the play count that he did, considering he hadn't played a lot of football, that was pretty impressive. And he made a phenomenal play on the return. Yeah. The rest of it, not so good. And that's just, I think that's just, you know, maybe it's a little bit of rust, and that's possible. But if you, again, going back to those 2 weeks he had prior to being traded, he gave up a lot of catches and a lot of yards. And I think if you watch this game, I believe it was 4 conversions that went his way, 3 plays over 25, which we have the problem with, you know, with some of the other players. So I thought it was a really inconsistent game. Gave up 2 touchdowns, but got one of his own. So, I mean, I think it's a mixed bag. I think it's way too early to say that if he's going to have a positive or negative effect.
The first T.Y. Hilton touchdown, I thought he jumped outside, gave him inside leverage, and then he ran to the skinny post. Luck put the ball only where he could have put it.
Well, he also reached with the wrong arm. He reached with the wrong arm.
Exactly. Why not?
That's poor technique. Yeah. It's interesting because Dennard later in the game, that was a rookie who had some up and downs, reached with the correct arm.
That was his best play of the day.
Twice had the exact same opportunity and actually did the correct technique. And Talib, the vet, used poor technique and got beat.
Wiggy, once he gets more comfortable, what can they do defensively to kind of, I don't want to say increase the aggressive style, but they obviously got to make some adjustments.
Well, I think you saw that in this game. I think they pressured or blitzed. They had some form of pressure about 17 times throughout the game. They were able to, 17 snaps, they were able to bring some pressure. But I think the one thing that you'll notice, and I looking at Talib, that he kind of brings to that secondary is a little bit of confidence, a little bit of swagger. That's something we didn't see in the past. And it probably could have started with that interception that was overthrown that he was able to take back to the house. Like, giving some guys some confidence, you know, maybe that will rub off on some of these guys because of the way he plays his attitude.
Seems like the Patriots blitz more early in this game. I think it was more Wiggy because the Colts are starting to run the football, and they countered with some first and second down blitzes.
Well, that's what you want to do. You want to try to get more guys in the backfield, slow down that run a little bit, you know, make it difficult on the offensive line to be able, whether they're in a man blocking or a zone blocking scheme, maybe get on some guys. One thing you notice with Spikes, and he does a lot of it, a lot of run through, and I don't know if they're necessarily designed blitzes, but a lot of run through, you see him running through certain gaps, whether it's A gaps, B gaps, or C gaps, you know, and those type of things. And he does a tremendous job of it because he's always in the backfield. And I was at the game and I said to my buddy, I said, he's always in the backfield.
It almost makes you say, how do you not send him every play?
Yeah. It
makes certain guys have a knack for getting there. Some guys just run into the wall and find blockers.
Yeah. There was actually an interesting thing in the game, and you brought it up. I think he was probably the idea of him being involved almost in the front and then the corner blitz. Those were the two real new things. I think as an actual percentage of plays, there weren't more pressures in this game than past weeks. It's just a hit on him, and that's a big thing. And I liked your point that it was used to sort of stop the run because the thing that they had a little issue with in that first quarter and a half or so were sub runs. So it's not necessarily blitz to disrupt the rookie quarterback. It's blitz to add an extra guy into the box because they needed it.
Deion Branch gets released. All of a sudden, Julian Edelman gets more snaps. He's part of the game plan. Had a big punt return, 68-yarder for a touchdown, 5 catches for a touchdown, a 47-yard run on a reverse. What do you think of Edelman?
I thought he played well. I mean, I'd like to see him, you know, be more consistent, you know. I mean, you know, especially on punt return, I'd like to see, you know, more explosive plays out of him in the punt return. You know, offensively, he does a tremendous job when he does get the ball in his hand, run after the catch. I think the place where he struggles a little bit, and this is where when you start trying to compare him to Wes Welker, is getting open. And I think he struggles a little bit with getting open, where Wes Welker, he's nifty, he's able to get open. But when you can't get the ball in Edelman's hands, he's very dynamic.
PAT, field goal protection. Did anybody even know Rob Gronkowski was on that unit?
If I could name one play in football that is probably the least likely to get hurt on, it's an extra point. It is a nothing play. And to me, it's, you know, the idea that you would pull him or somehow not be in there, to me it's like, you know, I'm not going to buy a house in Florida because I don't want to, you know, get caught in an avalanche. I mean, you don't prepare for the thing that's 1,000 times likely not to happen.
But most people who understand the game know that when you're talking about a wing on PAT, field goal protection team, 99% of the time it's usually the tight ends because just in case there's a bad snap or, you know, you design fake field goals.
Wendell's the other guy. Copeland's played it. They take usually your best blockers. He's your best blocker
length,
tight end.
Too, you got to get two gaps.
He's long. You
wingspan.
Gotta, and I've played on that. I've played that wing, and you got to be able to protect the inside gap knowing that's the most important gap that can get to the – the kicker the quickest.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Colts discussion. Coming up next on Rants and Raves, we're going to talk about one of their old teammates getting booed and his return to Foxborough again. That's next on Rants and Raves.
Julian Edelman is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The seventh-round draft choice who played quarterback at Kent State may have played his best game against the Colts. The 5'10", 198-pounder found the end zone in an electrifying 68-yard punt return. The 26-year-old also cashed in on a 2-yard TD pass, making him the first Patriot since Irving Fryer in 1985 to score a touchdown receiving and via punt return. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. So Adam Vinatieri returns, and it's not the first time back to Foxborough as a member of the Colts. The guy kicked two game-winning Super Bowl kicks. He had the snow kicks, not one, two kicks in that game. Yet, was it right for the fans of Wiggy? I know you're born from here, and it's the whole Yankee Red Sox, you know, Yankees Red Sox.
Yep.
Were they right to boo Adam Vinatieri?
I'm going to say yes, because when you look
I knew it. It's unbelievable.
They're not booing Vinatieri.
No, of course not. They're booing the uniform,
They're
right?
booing the uniform. And listen, Adam will have plenty of...
Well, they boo other kickers when they come in if they boo the uniform.
Listen, Adam will have plenty of praise when Mr. Kraft hands him that red jacket. So when he's out there and he's wearing a Colts uniform, it's the laundry.
So it's a red jacket, not a yellow jacket guy.
Well, he'll get a red jacket here, but he should get a yellow jacket. But the bottom line is when you're wearing the opposing team's uniform, you're going to get booed. It's just the way it is. It's the way it works. If Larry Bird came back and played in a Lakers jersey, he'd get booed.
You were at the game. You said it.
Yeah, I'll boo him. And I'm going to
boo him. You booed him.
I'll boo him just like I'm going to boo Ray Allen when he comes back.
Then you high five him when they come by. Hey, it's Wee Wiggy. Look at me over here. Come
on. Yeah, that's all right.
Stuff. So, at least you're honest. Matt.
Well, I've been through this. Played for the other team. I think you guys were Jets.
Well, you went to the Jets.
You guys were both Jets, too, though.
Yeah. So I was a Colt.
A little less than him and a little less than him.
Well, that's the point. I've been in the same situation. You know, you're in there. They call your name. And, that guy, for the Jets.
How dare you go for more money?
This segment's out of hand. Anyway, so I understand. I think Wiggy's point, though, it's they'll welcome you back when it's over, but for now, that's just how it is.
All right, guys, good stuff. Since it is the holiday season, and I hope you guys had a nice Thanksgiving, some leftovers. Our Thanksgiving leftovers when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Three games down this week, many to go, and I'm Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Lowdown. Josh Freeman is primed for a big outing at home against Atlanta. He's got 16 touchdown passes and just 3 picks over his last 6 games. Be careful before starting Mike Wallace. The Steelers' QB situation is a mess, and Wallace barely has 100 combined receiving yards his last 3 games. Sit him at Cleveland. And if you're a Gronk owner, snap up Indy's Dwayne Allen, a great matchup hosting the Bills, and he's a tight end on the rise. That's the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week, and this is the time we usually do our predictions. And with the Patriots having the weekend off after the Jets game, we thought maybe we'll just go around the league and talk about maybe some of the leftovers we have, since it is the holiday season, and guys look like you ate a lot. Especially you, Wiggy. Stuff was good, huh?
Yeah, it was.
East Boston stuff.
It was excellent.
For me,
good.
I'm going to start with me.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. Guys, the guy threw 5 picks last week. They still win. You guys have been part of some teams where you make a lot of mistakes. But in essence, to give the Falcons credit in this sense, they overcame it. Good teams have to win those type of games. They did. But I'm happy because it took Matt Ryan out of the MVP race. And I'm tired of hearing about Matt Ryan. Win a playoff game, then talk to us. Wiggy, you're left over.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Up against the Texans. I thought they could close out the Texans, which would give the Patriots an opportunity to maybe sneak up there, snatch up that second or first spot. And Jacksonville is Jacksonville. And what do we expect? They go up there and They lay an egg.
My issue is just the changing face of the league with this quarterback situation. We've got so many guys on crucial teams who are now injured. When Roethlisberger comes back, when Alex Smith comes back, when Jay Cutler comes back, there are so many moving pieces right now. That's why we didn't overreact in early October of who was going to be where, because something like this inevitably happens. It did, and I don't think we're going to know how this sorts out for at least another month.
Good leftovers, guys. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. See you next time on Patriots This Week.